Hey everybody, welcome back to the EV Cafe Takeaway podcast. That podcast focused on a zero emission future, etc, etc. I am here with the wonderful, award-winning Ben Travis. Welcome, Ben.
Hello, how are you?
We are very good, and by we, I mean me and JC. JC, welcome to you too.
Hello, darlings. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Ben Travis, award winner.
I know. That is pretty special. Yep.
He is a Christmas cracker, everybody, and for very, very good reason. And we're going to get into all of those reasons. But Ben, for those people that have lived under the proverbial rock, let us know, who are you and where are you from?
So my name's Ben and I'm from County Durham.
Sounds like Blind Date.
It does, doesn't it? That, I mean, that was proper chat show. Well done, Ben. And what is your day job, Ben? Because we know that you're far more than your day job, but what is your day job?
So my role is I help customers transition from internal combustion engines over to electric vehicles. And I've been working in the automotive industry now since around 2019.
And always with that helping on the transition, or did you start out somewhere and did you move into this?
So actually it was the first lockdown, which really prompted my and really kind of pushed me to consider electric vehicles. I'd actually spent the sort of since 2019 up until sort of when the first lockdown was announced, I just moved roles at this point over to BMW and Mini. And I was actually put on furlough for the first 3 months of my employment. My employers at the time were extremely understanding. They, you know, I was due to start and then all of a sudden everything just was completely shut down. So for the first 3 months, rather than just sitting at home watching daytime TV, I'd actually started to get a lot of electric vehicle orientated questions and was really struggling with how to answer those because there was no training in 2019 in this sector. There was nothing, that no one was really talking about it. So I thought what I'd do is I would just bury myself in so much, like I'm talking YouTube videos, I'm talking how-to guides, I'm like everything, seriously filled a massive notepad of notes and got really familiar with what it was all about. So when I started my role at the time, it was more of a almost like a thank you for just paying me for 3 months with not having done anything, is in being in the building. I'd actually spent a lot of time, as I said, studying and really kind of really pushing my knowledge so that when I started this role, I was ready for any questions with regard to electric vehicles. Now, it was bizarre at that time because I'd never actually driven one, but I was very keen to get into a car and put all of that theory into practice. And as soon as I did, it was a complete game changer. And from that point forwards, it was like, right, how do I become a recognized specialist in this field? And of course, LinkedIn being such a powerful platform that it is, just allowed me to start talking about my passion, start talking about, you know, answering sort of frequently asked questions that I was getting at work. And this is why I love using LinkedIn, because I have a platform every day where I get inspiration from all kinds of places. And the more consistent you are, the more honest and the more, you know, I guess involved in lots of different discussions as well, because getting involved in the comment section of posts can really help, you know, give you a lot of get you a lot of attention as well, I guess, getting seen by more people. So just understanding a bit more about how LinkedIn worked at that point was really good as well. But yeah, like I said, I just used that first lockdown to really sort of get my head into it, bury my head into it, and, you know, wanting to start my new role on the front foot, knowing that I could now answer these questions. And I was actually looking purposely at that point, then looking for EV customers to speak to, or, you know, at the time, people who are thinking about making the switch. And rather than just becoming a general product specialist over internal combustion engine and EV, I was actively seeking out those EV customers and wanted to make it more official. So yeah, I guess LinkedIn and the first lockdown really helped me kind of, you know, get to where I am today.
Doesn't Brilliant. That tell you an awful lot about Ben Travis?
Mm-hmm.
Here is somebody who is about to start a job, is furloughed, which is 3 months holiday, paid, happy days. Most people would say, fabulous. I'll spend time with my family and I'll do this and I'll decorate the house and I'll use that time just because I'm getting paid for nothing. But Ben Travis says, do you know what? I'm going to learn something new. I'm going to learn it from one end to the other. And by the time I get back, I'm going to hit the ground running. Is that how you take on life, Ben?
In a lot of instances, I guess. It's a great question. I think at the time, as I said, I really wanted to reward my employers at the time for just, you know, we were having these really in-depth conversations, these sales meetings that were all on Zoom at the time. And I was just sat in the back. No one knew who I was because I hadn't officially started. So I was this person just sort of in the far corner of a Zoom call, just sort of quietly announcing myself, saying, hi, everybody, how's everything going? And, you know,
very
I think there was
like
a lot of...
on the EV Cafe. Very like me.
Sits in the background, barely says, boo to a goose.
I think that, you know, my employer at the time didn't have to do that. You know, they could have just gone, you know, last in, first out, and they were well within their rights, I guess, to do that. But because I'd signed the contract and, you know, this was very unprecedented times, they just thought, well, actually, I've gone through all the interviews. I'm kind of, you know, they saw me as a great fit for the brand and for the actual retailer itself. So like I said, yeah, I just wanted to, I'm someone that's as actively wants to know things. If I'm going to talk to customers about something, I feel like if I'm not confident, customers aren't stupid. Like they will pick up on this very, very quickly. And I've been on the receiving end of that from sales executives, you know, who are talking to customers, and you can tell that there is just this real disconnect from what a customer wants to know. And the sales execs taking them around the house, and you think, if you don't know, it's absolutely fine to say you don't know, because, you know, every day is a school day and you're not expected to know everything about everything. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of put the customer first, and everything that I've done prior to being in the automotive industry was always customer focused. And this was just another example of me wanting to make sure that, you know, when they speak to me, that they walk away feeling that they're more informed, they're more confident. And, you know, what I wanted to do at that point was really build firsthand experience, because at the end of the day, and I think this is a thing across the automotive industry, and I think a lot of people are still scared of EV. I think they're still scared of what this transition looks like. And I think as much as you want to take on board theory and take what customers are saying as gospel, actually firsthand experience trumps all of that. You know, going to a charger, telling customers how it works, and when this happened, I did this. Not when this happened, I would refer you to this page of this manual. Like, customers don't want that. They want that confidence inspiring, you know, story to put their mind at rest. And the sooner I got into an electric car and the sooner I was able to start telling stories, the more confident I became and the more confident customers became as a result.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europcar, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europcar's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europcarma. Search Europe Car Business.
Do you know what, Ben? One of the things that I love to ask, and because the person that we see in front of us is, you know, passionate about the customer, passionate about electrification, passionate about change and help and doing all of those good things.
He's an award winner.
He's an award winner. He's almost peaked too early. You know, I mean, where'd you go from here? But... There is, don't worry, there is life beyond Christmas crackers. It's okay. But I'm really curious, Ben, you know, how did you become the passionate and helpful and determined individual that you are? Was this something you aspired to at school and as you grew up and whatever your career path was and the degree that you took and all of that kind of stuff? What were you looking for as you grew up?
I think I've always been someone who's just sort of quietly gone about their day to day and just making sure that everyone around me feels that when I'm around, that they also have confidence to come and find me. I think the thing is with the roles that I've had, I've always been to a degree audited on my customer experience and what I give to customers. So I think first and foremost, it's kind of been ingrained in me to be very customer centric. I think a huge amount of empathy is required in the role that I do now, because I've been there and I understand that. And I think that really helps me to not come across as a salesperson, which I'm not. And that's a big reason why I didn't want to move into sales, is because actually I love getting a big kick from helping customers. And even like one sentence, like a really good example of this is like, so I've been at my current role now since May of last year. And not only is educating customers such a big part of what I do, but actually educating the team as well around me. So I'm doing lots of like one-to-ones. I'm taking morning meetings and I'm educating and talking about, you know, frequently asked questions. And one of the big things that I heard a salesperson say as I walked past them was, and this was amazing. I honestly, I was just like, this has made my day. I just walked past a customer who hadn't yet, with the sales exec, who hadn't yet got me involved in that conversation. I just overheard them saying, well, you don't stop to charge. You just charge when you stop. And I'm just like, bingo. Like, this is the thing that I've been, almost every conversation, this is a phrase that I'm bringing to a customer's attention. Those who are really unsure about long distance trips, and just to hear someone say it within earshot as I walked past, I just thought, you know what, I can tell that I'm making a difference here. And I think it's those type of things that I kind of live for every day. Those little wins, but a customer just gaining that confidence is that little phrase almost that someone's going to take away and go, you know, no one's ever said that to me before. And if I can be the person to really, really give salespeople and the team around me that confidence and that kind of, I guess, foundation to be able to speak confidently, then that's me doing my job. And I love to hear customers, you know, leaving with a big smile on their face going, you know what, I didn't know anything about electric cars before I came in, but having had a conversation with you, I now know what my direction is. I now feel much more comfortable about costs. I feel much more comfortable about charging. And I think as well, I think the customer element doesn't just stop there. I love doing what I call second handover. So I'll go to customers' places of work. I'll go to their properties. And it's a really bespoke experience. And, you know, customers need to feel special, I feel, especially in the premium sector in which I'm kind of residing. So, yeah, it's that kind of, you know, it's not just one conversation and you're done and there's your keys and congratulations and I'll, you know, see you in 3, 4, 5 years. For me, it's like I've been to a customer's house that's over an hour away from where I work nearly seven times. I think it is 7 times since I've started working where I am. But the customer needs that help. They need that support. And that's exactly why I do what I do. I leave that customer's property going, I've really made a difference today.
And I applaud that passion and that desire to help. But where does it come from? Like, inside of you, why do you want to help and why do you care about this process of electrification? Not put the job to one side for a second. Let's understand a little bit about Ben.
I think everyone sees any sort of change as scary. And I just want to dial all of that back. And I just want to help. I want to be the person where I become the go-to person, I guess. But, you know, for me, I think we've all gone through a big change in our lives with things like mobile phones. And everyone was worried about, well, I've got this tiny Nokia with so many buttons and a tiny screen. And now you see a button on a phone, it's like, what have you got one of those for? We've gone through a big technological shift. We've done it. And reminding customers of that is important. But I think it's just my nature. I think it's the reason why I do it is that I see, when I see a smile, when I see all of that weight lifted off someone's shoulders, when I see that, you know, this last 5 or 10 minutes has been a real benefit, a real advantage, a real good use of my time. It's someone walking away going, wow, like he knows what he's talking about. And I just, you know, it's not about, for me at work, it's not about recognition, about, you know, Ben's amazing or flying the flag or anything like that. It's just someone who's in the background just quietly and confidently going about his day to day, knowing that if I see a big smile on a customer and that's as a result of a conversation with me, that's why I do it. I think, wow, I've made a difference here.
You are clearly, Ben, somebody who is very influential. You're influential in your own workplace with your colleagues and with customers. And you were one of the people who was voted for multiple times by different people. So that was rare for the awards last year. Who's been your biggest influence and how did they help you?
It's tough, that question, because I think there are lots of little sprinkles of things that I see on LinkedIn where someone has said something, or I go, oh, do you know what? I'd really like to do what they're doing. It's more the, you know, I think Quentin Wilson was a great advocate of someone who just spoke from the heart and someone who was very passionate about what he believed in and very passionate about helping people make the switch. It's characters like Quentin that, and there are multiple people across the EV landscape who are all doing incredible work. So I don't think necessarily there's maybe one person, but I just think that because platforms like LinkedIn are filled with so many amazing people, it just takes one post. I didn't really think about it like that. I'm going to use that next time I speak to a customer. It's little things that all sort of amalgamate into this person. I've just taken sort of little influences from lots of different places and lots of different directions. And I think if you can make a role like this your own and you suddenly find that you have a voice and people will start listening because you are still you, but you've taken little inspirations from lots of different avenues and things. So I feel quite lucky in that respect and that LinkedIn has been such a positive place for me.
You've had fame and fortune, you've won awards. How do you keep your feet on the ground, Ben? Because you are a successful person in your industry. You are a voice of the industry. You are somebody who's recognised as being good quality. And you're now finding people, I guess, coming to you and saying, Ben, help me, support me, guide me. Is that something that sits easily with you, or do you have to deal with the fame?
I'm definitely not famous, first of all. but I think initially it can get a little overwhelming sometimes. In that, you know, if you're pulled from pillar to post, and you know, lots of sales execs and lots of want your time with customers who all need to speak to you right now. I think that is something that I have to still be very mindful of, knowing that it feels like there's a queue, and I'm just working my way through each person and realizing that not everybody's got time to wait. So I think that in the same breath, I do enjoy being the go-to person, because you know, when I sit down with a customer, sales executive generally would just almost relax in some respects, going, okay, we've got you to the right person. One thing that is a little difficult to stomach is an introduction. So an introduction with sometimes in front of a customer, and I've tried to really work with the team to not introduce me in this way. But when I first started, it was, here's Ben, he knows everything about electric, ask him anything you want. And I'm like, that's impossible. What are you talking about? I can't, you know, that is such a, you know, all it takes for me to not to know the answer to a very specific question, and then you know that introduction, it means nothing. So I think I'm very conscious of being introduced with such gravitas, I guess. But I do feel that, you know, we're starting to find our feet a little bit, and to answer your question, it was a little tricky to start off with. But I think because I'm the sole person in my retailer who does what I do, I think it is just about managing my workload, but also managing customers' expectations as well, which is sometimes quite a difficult balancing act. But you know, I'm working on it.
It's great to see all of this. And what the other thing that I've noticed, Ben, is that you have a YouTube channel. So I now know what you do in your spare time. Not that you have any, because of course you spend a lot of time on this. What was the purpose of the YouTube channel, and what's your hopes for it ultimately?
I think with YouTube, it was something that I was always really hesitant to do. I didn't want that kind of commitment in the back of my mind, knowing that, you know, I find it difficult enough as it is to, you know, to break from work and then being at home, because I don't holiday very well, and I'm always kind of answering customers' emails on days off and things. It's those things that I need to kind of really, really work on and let the out of office really do the heavy lifting for me here. But I think YouTube was something that I've always been interested in electric vehicles in terms of reviewing. But of course, if I work for a specific OEM or manufacturer, there are different guidelines wherever you work. And some manufacturers aren't worried by, you know, I've worked for one manufacturer who said, look, you can talk about any other manufacturer on your LinkedIn as long as it's not like us, which I never really got my head around. But that was, and then I've worked for other manufacturers saying, look, if you mention other manufacturers, future is this is going to be a problem. So I think my YouTube channel was just a, and I have to be really careful on LinkedIn because I never talk about it because I'm not really allowed. But I use LinkedIn, YouTube to just, I just feed that and allows me to scratch that EV itch that I can't scratch at work. It's those things where I get to go and sit in other vehicles and see what the competition looks like, and I get to see what other infotainment systems are like and how other vehicles drive. And you know, I could just do that on my own without sort of having a camera crew with me, which has happened. You know, there's the Tesla Model 3 video shoot that I did it was about 15 months ago now. That was one of the biggest things I've ever been involved with. You know, there was like 6 or 7 people other than myself with, you know, we had chase cars, we had cameras everywhere. You know, there was a guy who'd been brought in specifically to do drone shots. You know, it's that type of thing where it just felt like really Hollywood very, very quickly. But I love all that. I love getting involved, and I just love the, I love experiencing what other manufacturers have to offer, because as much as you have to be loyal to the brand that you work for and be a spokesperson for the brand that you work for, it's always great to jump in another car and go, oh, okay, so this is all right, okay. And you can just review it from, you know, you can either do loads of research on it, which I absolutely love, or some of the reviews I've done, I've just turned up having arranged everything and the car is ready, and it's very much a first impressions. And there's been some where I've done lots of research and some where I've just deliberately turned up totally blind. And how do I feel if I'm, and putting myself in the customer's shoes as well. So what that also does, that's a thought that's just come to my mind, is how am I greeted as a customer by other people? I'm kind of almost mystery shopping other people, which is quite unfair. But actually, I also go into that situation feeling like, oh, okay, well, I can pick up things as well. So there are lots of benefits to having a YouTube channel, I guess. But it's not something I take massively seriously. I don't, you know, I'm never talking about trying to get to an X amount of subscribers. I get back to everybody like I do on LinkedIn or through the YouTube comments. And I just love talking to other EV enthusiasts. And that avenue, I guess, allows me to do that.
So no aspirations for the million view, million subscribers, gold. No. Oh gosh, just me then.
Yeah, you know, if I had time to dedicate to it, and you know, if I didn't have to, you know, pay for video shoots and things when I'm doing this with other people with lots of like really expensive camera gear, then I think it would definitely become more of a, like, it would become more of a serious thing. I know people in the industry who have done similar roles to me and now do YouTube full time, and that would be incredible. Like, it would, I would just get into so many cars and have such a laugh. But actually, at the moment, with all of my commitments, I do find it difficult to kind of take YouTube as seriously as I would like. Maybe one day, who knows?
Well, I'm just going to give you some hints and tips. Mm. This is all the equipment that you need.
Yes. Yes.
A selfie stick and a phone.
Phone. Yep.
Honestly, the one thing I guess we've learned, John, haven't we, over the years, is actually like that sort of production value, many cameras, you know, drone shots, all of that sort of stuff. Don't tell anybody, but don't actually make much difference.
Yes.
To the actual amount of views that you get, and often just kind of even God forbid without the selfie stick, I've just gone like this and talked to the, and oh my goodness, suddenly there's 10,000 people looked at it, or 20. I mean, it's just like, I don't really understand, because I spent 5 days editing that one. And anyway,
yeah,
you don't keep doing it, because it's great content, Ben, and really good to see. And just keep doing it, man, because This is, I mean, you perfect everything in front of a camera, don't you? You know, you're able to sort of reiterate how to speak to customers and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And I think as well, the YouTube channel helps with my kind of presenter side as well. I've done things in other sort of walks of life where I've kind of been, you know, the person who's been very front and center and communicating that to customers. I think that the YouTube thing also helps me to get to a point much quicker, whereas I like detail. I like, you know, load to talk at length about things, but actually I realize that not a lot of people have a lot of time for that kind of thing. So actually YouTube helps me to really condense down what I need to say and get to the point much faster, which you know, again, it's just about honing that craft, I guess.
Paul should try that.
You're so rude. So Ben, what do you do outside of work? What are the, I mean, because you mentioned on your LinkedIn that you're a presenter. And is it beyond just the YouTube channel, or is that's your presenting, or are there other things that you're involved in?
Well, with regard to like work or just sort of away from work completely?
Yeah, away from work as well, yeah.
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, I think I do struggle to switch off. But when I do manage to just, you know, just kick back and just relax, I love going out. We've got an elderly dog. We've got a little border terrier. We've got a little buggy for her as well. She can't really walk.
And
we love going to places. That's me and my girlfriend. We go to places, and it's given us a real kind of freedom, I guess, to go and explore. We kind of held my dog's condition on this really big pedestal, thinking we couldn't go anywhere or do anything because of her. And I think now, this little cart that she's got is phenomenal, because it allows us to go so many places and experience so many different things. And I think, you know, that we thought that the beach was going to be a complete no-go, and now we can, and we get other dog owners going, oh, I've never seen that before, where'd you get that from? And it's great. Other than sort of the outdoors and exploring, I do love comedy as well. I love watching lots of comedy and things, and things that make me laugh, and things that make me almost, you know, forget about work sometimes, because if you're constantly attached to your phone and emails and things, you never feel like, even when you're off, that you're actually away from work. So just distractions are a big positive for me. And as I said, I find a lot of solace in things like comedy. I watch a bit of sport every now and again. So yeah, anything I can do where my phone feels like it's a million miles away, that's what I love doing.
Now then, Ben, just you and me here now, okay? In the background, you've either murdered a Smurf,
yes,
or there is a massive blue Taylor's dummy.
Right. Yeah.
What's the story?
I thought this might come up. So this is our little office that we've got in our house. And it does seem that we are surrounded by clothes. And as you rightly pointed out, it is a mannequin, and it haven't murdered any Smurfs. So that's that we're okay there. No problems there. So it just seems that, you know, this is the room. It's nice and warm. It's fairly soundproofed and stuff, which is good. But yeah, so yeah, I might, for any future conversations, thank you for bringing that up, I might just sort of maybe move that out the way. You know, I don't want any calls from any sort of any police or anything like that.
CSI.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. CSI Smurf.
Yeah. So the Taylor's dummy, the mannequin, is something that your partner uses, not you?
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't mind if it was me, I would absolutely tell you. But yeah, it's not mine. No, maybe I should just sit there like this.
Oh, no, please don't. We love being nosy and seeing what's behind the All person. So. Yeah. Bless you.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. You are somebody who loves the process. It doesn't matter what it is that you're doing. You enjoy being on a journey. What does success look like to you? Because you're constantly learning, constantly developing, constantly getting better. How do you know when you're good enough?
Wow. I think in this landscape that we find ourselves in, everything is changing all the time. There's always a next thing. There's always something happening. And I think there's always, for me, there's always an end goal. I think there's always, and I'm not there yet. I've got a lot of things that I still want to do with where I am. But I think the end goal for me is essentially to be working for a brand with electric vehicles. I think that has to be the, you know, where you are the go-to person for a manufacturer, where, you know, I feel excited every single day by something that I'm doing. Now, I get excited like a lot with the things that I do, but I think working for an actual manufacturer, I feel would would be where I'd love to get to at some point. And like I said, I haven't really found my kind of thing yet. That's another big thing. You know, even though what I do at the moment is there are so many different things, you know, like home charging, public charging, EV energy tariffs, you know, EV insurance. There's so many different aspects of the journey that I bring together for customers that I think I'm always looking for what is it that I where do I sort of fit in? Where's my thing? What's my thing? And I haven't worked that out yet. And I think I will probably know when I found it. But right now, I'm just enjoying what I'm doing. I'm not trying to put too much pressure on myself. You know, as long as I'm keeping abreast of everything that's going on and can give, you know, some really solid advice to customers from first-hand experience. And that's my jam right now. I think once I've found what I'm looking for, I think I will just know. But yeah, I'm yet to find that thing.
Okay. What are you proudest of achieving? Because you've achieved a lot, you know, in your time. What's the thing that you, when you're having a tough day and you think, do you know what, I just want to scream. What's the thing that lifts you back up again and you think, no, actually, I am good. What made you, what do you refer to in your mind?
I'm not saying this because I'm talking to you both. I think the award that I was given over Christmas, it was like, and it was, it's like, it's a massive deal for me, that, like, a huge deal, because, and for me, I think that I'm never someone that's wanting to be on like a power 100 list. I'm never trying to, and look, that would be awesome, of course, but that's not the goal. I'm not here to sort of, you know, I don't need or want necessarily recognition on that kind of level, just to know that I'm making a difference with people at a really kind of, really early stage in people's kind of transition across to EV. It sounds so basic, but I don't need to overcomplicate it. Like, my job is complicated enough without thinking that I need all of these things. That award just allowed me to really just take a big step back and just go, okay, people do watch, people are interested, people do see what I'm doing. And that was a big moment, because you do go through times when, you know, there was a recent post that I put out on LinkedIn, and it just felt like every single comment was an attack. And sometimes it's an attack from a personal perspective. And you go, you know what, like, my whole thing about responding to everyone is a gift and a curse all at the same time. I see people that just want to go, you just fight amongst yourselves, you do your thing. But with me, I just feel like, I understand the algorithm. I understand that, you know, more comments is more eyes. And that's what I want. I want more people to see the type of work and how passionate I am, sorry, about electric vehicles and the environment and sustainability and all of those things. But yeah, I don't yearn for awards and that really big, like, oh my goodness, it's Ben. And I'm always, like I mentioned earlier, I'm always like, I can just fade into the background. And if I just quietly go about my business and I'm taking an internal combustion engine off the road one day at a time, we're making progress. And that to me is kind of what success at the moment for me looks like. So yeah, I think I'm generally, this is how I am in life. You know, I don't need to be all screaming, shouting, look at me, because there's enough people on LinkedIn that want your attention in that ilk. And I don't.
Do right
need...
here.
But I just feel like I don't need, I just feel like I think my location as well also keeps me very much grounded, in terms of I'm not in an epicenter. I'm not near a lot of people who all do the same thing as I do. There are people around, of course, but and as well, I've just always felt really comfortable just doing my own thing. And as I said to you earlier, I think as soon as I find my own thing, then I'll feel really happy. But at the moment, like you said, just enjoying the process and seeing where this exciting journey takes me.
So cool. So cool. Ben, you touched on something there, because, I mean, listen, you sound like a positive, upbeat, really strong, characterful person. But you alluded to those, let's say a darker moment. This was particularly reliant on sort of posts that were particularly negative, or people that were being personal and that sort of thing. And it doesn't have to be that particular post, but what is it that kind of has really hit you over the years, and how did it make you feel, but how did you get out of it as well? You know, how did you bounce back?
Is that a LinkedIn specific question or just anything?
No. Just in general. I mean, it could be LinkedIn. I mean, it could be, you know, people were being really personal on LinkedIn, and I get that. I must admit, I'm one of the people that just goes, oh, please get it. So, like, you get a comment on, you know, you're really handsy. Yeah, I know. Okay, but you know, so okay, tell me something. I don't, you know, oh, you speak like this or that or whatever, and I get a few of those kind of comments. But Ed, but that people can be personal. Talk to us about a time that wasn't great for you, just in your working life, because I think, you know, when they see such a positive person, they think everything's rosy all of the time. It's not, is it?
No, absolutely not. And I think you know, I've had several instances where, you know, you've got someone who you work with who feels very differently to how you do. I've had sales executives say negative things about me in front of customers before. And you just, as I said, I think it there are those days where you just think, you know, there's just not one thing that's gone right for me here. But I think the way that you turn it around is that, like, I always kind of get in my car, because I'm a big car guy, I love electric cars, and just get in my car and drive home and go, you know what, 3 or 4 years ago, 2 years ago, this time last year, just from a timeline perspective, going, I didn't have any of this. Like, I've got my own, like, I've got a company car now. It's the first time that's ever happened. The first time anyone's ever gone, do you know what? This could be a really good, and it's the little wins that I see in life, you know, and just trying to remind yourself that, you know, I'm healthy and the people around me are okay, and it sounds super sort of like basic again, but just there is always someone that's going to be in a worse situation, in a worse scenario than you, and if someone doesn't agree, because I used to take things very personally when I first started sort of talking to customers confidently about electrification, that, you know, oh well, electric's not for me, and you're like, well, why isn't it for you? And you get, and like, you quickly grow out of that, and you just sort of say, well, all right, no problem. If it's not for you, no worries. And I'm a really big believer in killing people with kindness. Like, people hate that. They hate me just being really nice to them when they're being really horrible to me. And I just don't want to involve myself in that, in what they're trying to, like, that level they're trying to bring me down to. So I just go, you know what? No problem. And I just try and let it wash over me. My partner loves me ranting when I get home. There are days you'll come home and go, so what's happened today? You know, and it's crazy, because, like, she works from home and she doesn't speak to anybody all day, whereas I've spoken to loads of people all day and all I want to do is not say anything. So we've got this really kind of, we're working on this this dynamic when I come home where all I want to do is sometimes not say anything, because I'm just trying to decompress and trying to process what's happened during the day. And all she wants to do is talk to me. So it's a thing that I'm still getting my head around. But I think that, you know, as I said, I think it's to try not take things personally, to answer your question, but then also just remember what you've got and where you are and what you're doing. And, you know, LinkedIn's not the be all and end all. It's the people that are around you, the family, the friends, all of that kind of stuff, who are there that, like, want to see you do well. And the people that want to see you do well, they're the people that you need in your life. So sometimes a quick reality check sometimes is, if it's, you know, tomorrow's a new day, and that's always the way I've got to look at things.
Let's assume, Ben, that magic could happen, and it might do in a minute, but you are at work and a young man comes in who is you when you were a teenager, and your young you comes up to you and says, what advice can you give me to help me through my life? What would you say to yourself?
I would say to always be true to yourself. And the reason why I say that is that it's very easy these days to follow trends. It's very easy to jump on something which is, like, I could have so easily just decided to ignore the EV thing completely and gone down a totally different route and become a totally different person and have lots of different views than what I do now. But I actually deliberately said, actually, I feel really strongly about this. I want this to be a thing that if I die tomorrow, what are people going to say? And if people say, oh, well, he just followed everyone else, and I don't want to have that kind of anonymity. I want to look back on my kind of life and go, you know what, you stood by what you believed. And that's the Quinton thing all over again. It's that kind of ethos. So I think if a younger me came in to see me at work, it would certainly be whatever everyone else is doing, it's about you creating your own history. It's about you creating your own story. You are the main character of your movie, as cliche and as horrible and as cheesy as that sounds. It is about forging forward with principles and just that thought process of, actually, I feel really strongly about this, and I can find other people that think the same. And I think that's why the internet has become such a helpful thing for me, because I get spoken to a lot about finding your people, about people who are like you. And I think that a younger me, I just wish I'd been a little bit more confident and been a little bit more kind of, all right, let's do it. Because I've as much as we talk to customers all the time about change is scary, and change can be scary for a lot of people. But just to go, you know what? Everything's going to be all right. Just go for it. And I think that's probably what I'd say.
Darn right. Everything is all right.
Yeah.
And just go for it.
Yeah. That's it.
Fantastic. I'm sure there's t-shirts been made with that kind of sentiment on. And that's exactly everything. But we have some true magic now. Well, sort of.
Okay.
We do.
Pick a card, any card?
No, better. Even better than that. much. No, we put the power in your hands. We have the EV Cafe magic wand. Oh, absolutely. Wow. So now this is going to come your way for one wish for you to make. So you can wish all those LinkedIn people away, or you can do something fabulous. But now you get to make the future with the EV Cafe magic wand. So here it comes. Over to you. There you go. So you Thank now you. Have the power in your hands. There you go. So over to you. What one wish would you have?
Wowzers. I'm probably going to move away from sort of a work related topic. And I would like to find cures for all of the major diseases in this world. I think that would be my one thing. It's a very blanket thing to be able to just say, but I think that, you know, every family, or at least someone that you know, has been affected by, you know, things like cancer and things like that. And I just sometimes wish that everyone was just okay, and that, you know, and I think that's where I wish we, you know, because I think there's always a time in your life, and you mentioned it earlier during our conversation, you know, when things are getting you down, about, you know, your friends and family being okay. There's always a time when you go and visit someone in hospital and there's someone going through something absolutely horrendous. There's something like majorly traumatic going on in people's lives. And in our family, you know, my girlfriend's side of the family, she's had her mum passed away from cancer, and it's just until it happens, it's just totally devastating. You're just not ready for anything like that. So as much as I want to keep it really lighthearted, I wish I had of, you know, in hindsight, maybe picked something a little bit more lighthearted, but actually it's still really important. And I think that, you know, we're on this kind of journey to find cures for lots of different things. But that, I think that to me would be super important. The more people who don't have to go through some horrendous things, the better. So yeah, I think something like that.
And that's a thing of beauty right there. I mean, because, and just to link it back to electric vehicles, what we know is that a lot of the particulates are carcinogenic, you know, and health-related illness is, air quality health-related illnesses are, you know, massive. So I love that. And what it tells me, and everybody listening, is that what we suspected all the way through this conversation is that there is a really caring, empathetic heart at your core. And that is a beautiful thing. And it tells me why you want to help. It points to that why, that just in you is that sense of other people's well-being as much as your own. And it's a beautiful thing, John.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you, mate. I think what for me comes through is that everybody needs a Ben Travis in their lives. Do you know? That kind of stability that just will work hard, do the right thing, keep going, hugely resilient, puts a smile on his face no matter how hard it is, and is just reliable. And do you know what? It's a very undervalued quality to just be reliable. And I think you are. And that's why so many customers said, we trust Ben with the sales process, because you just do what you say you're going to do. It's a simple thing, but there are few as good as you.
That's really kind. Thank you.
Hey, Ben, listen, you've lived a long time in this industry. I mean, you know, 4 or 5 years helping people day in, day out to get to grips. And I tell you what, if there was a Ben Travis in every dealership and every van dealership in particular, we wouldn't have the challenges that we've got by any stretch, because people would be getting a good customer experience. They would understand the vehicles that they're getting and taking on board. They will understand what solutions are out there to help them volt and bolt, to charge and stop when they're charged, charge when they're stopped, charge when they're stopped. And all of those key things that actually a lot of people just go, oh, I don't know, mate, it's electric, isn't it? You plug it in, I think.
Yeah,
I think you can do it at home as well, maybe. But when you get out in the public, oh my gosh, the queues! I mean, the queues. Didn't you see them that at Christmas? The queues that were out there. Oh my god, no! It's just no, the diesel one over there, mate. Or the we know that if there was a Ben Travis around, we'd be in good shape, wouldn't we?
Totally. That's really kind. Yeah, that phrase has almost been coined where I work at the moment. They need, oh well, we'll just get Ben. We need a Ben. Where's a Ben? And they always come find me. So that's really, really kind. Thank you. Yeah,
they find the Ben.
Yeah. Well, hey, where I'm working, yes. But I think having more people, as I said, I think having more, and it doesn't necessarily come down to me, I think, but it also comes down to, you know, my employer, for instance, wanted to get me on board because of they wanted a product specialist, what BMW and Mini call a product genius. And I kind of stood my ground and just said, this is going to be massively important for you and your business and this brand. I feel that all of my experience leads me to believe that the knowledge and experience that I have with EV is going to become a massive thing for you. And I was out of work at the time. So it was quite a bold move. But I just thought, you know, I think if I'm going to do this, I need to do this properly. And I'm really pleased that I'm doing that, because influencing, like that word that you used earlier, and helping other people see it in a totally different light can just transform even, you know, the work that I'm doing behind the scenes. If I'm not there, like I'm not there today, I know that the sales team are in a better place for having spent some time and having these honest and transparent conversations. So yeah, that's where we're heading. And hey, look, if there were more EV product specialists around, I think that would be absolutely awesome. I think I'd love to see that. If I got a second wish, if you were to give me that back, I might choose that. Slightly less morbid, I feel. But still, I think that as I said, I think more people, the education thing isn't going away. I think more people still need those kind of conversations, and the more EV specialists are around, the better. We are going to get to a point where product specialists are just going to be EV anyway. We are going to reach that point. It's not going to be, oh, do you want petrol or diesel? That sales qualification question will disappear at some point, and it'll just be, you know, what color do you want? What wheels are you looking for? What, you know, what kind of range do you need? It's not going to be, you know, the typical kind of ICE question. So we will get there. We will get there.
We will. And in the meantime, there is always Electric Ben. Your YouTube channel where you can get some information. And you can also follow Ben on LinkedIn as well. They've already got a significant following there. And obviously the regular posts will definitely help inform. Ben, it's been a real treat to just chat with you for a little while. Love the heart. So much evidence of the reason for the award win as the retail Christmas cracker. And absolutely, I tell you what, the world's got tough competition, hasn't it, John?
Well, it certainly has. We could have the first double winner.
Oh,
just saying.
It could be possible.
No pressure.
Ben, listen, your employer is a blessed employer. And listen, you make a difference wherever you go. Thank you so much for taking some time to be with us today. And yeah, we'll put all your details into the chat. But everybody, you can chat to many more, listen to the chat with many more people over on our website. You can find all there, or Spotify or Apple, all of the regular channels. So just connect up with Ben, as I say, and of course me and John, if you really want to put yourself through it. But until next time, everybody, have a great day, and we look forward to seeing you next time around.